Good afternoon. This is Jeff Bellier, and you're listening to Sundays with Papa Jeff. And I have a very special guest on today, Jackie Woods, author of Soulmate or Cellmate. You make the choice. Jackie is here now on the line with us. And Jackie, number one, I appreciate the mention on your beautiful website that you're on our show today.
Thank you.
And I want to let listeners know right away your website. It's Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, Woods, W-O-O-D-S, .org. So JackieWoods.org is the website, and there's a lot of great information there. And your book, now this is, you've written several books before this, right, Jackie?
Yes, yes.
And Soulmate or Cellmate is your most recent. When did this come out?
This has been out since February.
Since February. Is it available on Amazon, or can you tell
us? It's available everywhere.
It's available.
If we have a national distributor, we can get it. You can get it through the website or through Amazon or just about anywhere.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, I mentioned to you, Jackie, just briefly as you came on, that I spent a lot of time with this weekend and some wonderful, neat perspectives on it, and your background is certainly interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about Jackie Woods?
Yes. I started this work, 25 years ago. Sort of came in the back door. I had done all my college work and all that kind of stuff, but I had been born with a gift, an intuitive gift, that I had never, ever, ever told anybody about, because when I had told my mother, she said, "Oh, for goodness sakes, don't tell anybody." And so I had not told anybody, and then the beings that I had had contact with my whole life and that had worked with me and taught me and talked with me, showed me how to work with energy and all that they did, said, "It's now time for you to use these gifts also." And I said, "No way, I can't do that. I'm not supposed to tell anybody."
And now you're an international radio guy.
I'm international. Oh, goodness, I'm telling everybody. I use those gifts along with my counseling work, and it helps to give me insight.
Can you describe those gifts a bit, Jack?
What?
Can you describe those, when you use the word gifts?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit what you're saying?
I can actually see people's energy fields around them, and if they have angels or beings that work with them, I can see those and talk to those, and it's like I'm just not limited by the physical world. And I use my gift to see where their energy in their field is not in alignment, where it's distorted, where it's the wrong color. And when I see that, then I can know exactly what area to go into and actually go into that spot. And then in each spot that's distorted, there will be memories and feelings locked into that spot. That I help people go into and release so that they can get through the blocks that are blocking them in their life and in relationships.
It's interesting. You said it shows up as a wrong color. So there, now this is
yes,
something
there's colors in your energy field.
And
yes.
You see those energy. Is it the same as aura, or is that a little
it's
different?
It's the same thing. It's
okay,
the same
so you can
thing,
use that
yes.
kind of interchangeably. So when you and you automatically see that, there's nothing you have to attune to or do anything, go into any meditation. You just
well, I have learned to not just be open to them all the time. I was at first, and it was
yep.
very disturbing.
I would say that'd be overwhelming.
It was. I couldn't go to malls or movies or anything.
Sure.
And so I have learned to manage it, and I can turn it off and on, which
good.
Is a great thing.
You said it interesting, and I hope you don't mind me interrupting you every so often. But when you mention something that I want some clarification on, please don't mind me jumping in.
Oh, please do,
okay,
because I just don't know how to talk about this real
okay.
well.
Okay. you said a wrong color. So if I were to come to you, or someone were to come to you for some counseling, and you looked at our energy field, there are things that would show up, and you would see them as I think you said misaligned or not attuned.
Right.
It wouldn't be the right color.
Right. Okay. For instance, if you had, you're familiar with the word chakra.
Yes, I am.
So each of those have a color, and for instance, if you've been working way too hard, the red in that root chakra, that physical chakra, that energy center. The red in that would be sort of a muddy color,
mm-hmm.
which would be telling me that you're kind of abusing your physical.
All right, and then so that you see, and it tunes you right into where where your client...
And that shows me what area they're really out of balance in.
Oh, well, that's a pretty neat gift to have.
It is neat. Now that I see it as a gift, before I thought it was just something I had to hide.
Yeah.
But it is a gift, and it works really well with what I do.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now you do, I know you do relationship counseling, and you have workshops and books and...
CDs.
And the website and weekly columns, so you have a pretty broad practice, a pretty active practice.
We do. We have even internet classes where people take the classes over the internet, and we have a continuing education available for massage therapists, for music therapists, for counselors, and social workers, where they can get their continuing ed credits over the internet.
And you fairly recently, or maybe it's not recently, but I remember reading, you moved to a location, you have like a 100-acre setting.
Yes. Oh, it's so pretty here. We're at the foothills of the Smokies in North Carolina and in western North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Moved from Atlanta to this place in, 8 years ago, 8 years ago in June. And we built a healing center here and started with 4 healers, and more healers kept coming and coming, and so we had to build a second building, and at this point we have a total of 11 healers working here.
Now, when you say healers, what type of healing, who typically comes to you to see a healer, and
We sort of address the whole person, in that we have chiropractic, we have massage therapy, we have color and sound therapy, we have herbal practice, we have nutritional counselor, we have an astrologer, and we have a woman that works with children doing music imagery with children.
Now, Jackie, do you focus pretty much on relationships, or are you in several other areas as well?
I work with people, helping them to grow, whether they are an individual growing without being in an intimate relationship, in a special relationship. But I also work with a lot of couples. I've done a lot of relationship work.
Okay, this is where soulmate or cellmate.
That's where the book came. It just seemed to me that we just don't have the tools out there available for people to get on their own that are just readily accessible, and they should be. People that are really intelligent and are wanting to grow and change will take a book like this and work with it.
Well, it's loaded with beautiful, unique, new, for me, new perspectives, new ways of doing inner work, of thinking about how relationships work. I particularly like, you know, the four-dimensional relationship. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Meaning all four bodies?
Yes, and also the four communication types.
Oh, the four communication, yes.
Yeah.
This one, I channel a lot of my material, and this one was given to me several years ago, and I've used it with businesses, corporate, intimate relationships, just people in general, and working with their children and working with their job. If we understand how the person thinks, how they perceive life, then we have a better relationship with them. And I talk about the four perceptions. People who are physical thinkers, such as my husband, he thinks physically.
Exactly. Let me interrupt
he
you.
He has no subjects. He just has verbs. He just talks about what he's doing.
Okay. Let me interrupt you, as I promised I would. Now, I know there are quite a few models out there for different, and four seems to be a recurring number of personality assessments, the DISC assessments, and Myers-Briggs and Jung certainly had that, the 16, but he started with four. That seems to be recurring so frequently. How do you determine of the four? I know you started with physical, and we'll come back to it, but I just want to know, how do you determine which style is a particular client might?
Well, it doesn't take long in listening to a person tell about their life and just how they express themselves to figure this out.
Yeah, that probably happens pretty quickly then.
Yes, for instance, I have a granddaughter that's in second grade this year, and I asked her today, well, how was your first day of school, which was Friday? And she said, well, and named everything they did. She's a physical thinker.
Okay.
And she learns physically. She learns by doing. Just hearing things is not her mode. Now, her sister, on the other hand, is what I call a mental perceiver.
Okay, good. Let's spend a little more time. I just want to spend some time on each one.
Okay.
Because
right.
I know they're
please,
so familiar
please
with...
Please do this, Jeff, because I'm not real good at this stuff, so
oh,
you help me.
You're wonderful at it. I'm sure you are. You wouldn't have such a beautiful book. So the physical thinker. Now, there are four types.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's name the four types, and then let's come back.
Okay. You have those that perceive the world through facts and details, and that I call the mental. The perceiver that perceives life as doing and what they're going to do and fixing the physical world. And then you have what I call the emotional perceiver or emotional thinker. That's the person that the feeling is the subject for them.
Right.
You know, they're really attuned to what's going on in the person behind the words.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're not necessarily just thinking, I know what's going on, they do know what's going on.
Okay.
And then you have what I call the spiritual thinker. Now, that's not the person that just thinks in esoteric terms, but they're the person that thinks in possibilities. They see the big picture.
Okay, good. Gotcha. Let's go back to physical. You started to say your husband, you drew an example, and then...
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter who just started school. So the physical thinker, their world, they're oriented to what they see. You said in the physical world, obviously.
They are oriented to the doing part of the physical
doing.
World.
Okay, thank you.
Not just the physical structure itself, but the doing that happens in the world.
Okay, so physical activities.
Activities.
Okay.
Very, very much thinking in terms of activities. This doesn't mean that they're the most active people, but they enjoy doing generally. And they think in terms of what needs to be done. For example, I'm a spiritual thinker. I think in possibilities. And I just had a birthday, and my husband was going to surprise me with a gift. And I love the gift, but had he really known how I think, you know, he got clearer after I told him this time, I like to go through all the possibilities before I make a choice. The fun part for me is going through, well, it was a piano lamp for our piano. We play piano duets, and we have
okay.
a grand piano, and we it's an important piece of our house. So I wanted a piano lamp. Well, he got one, but there's about four different kinds available, and I had to go back and look at those four kinds before I was really, really pleased with this.
Okay, let me interrupt you for a second because people tune in different times who might have come to the Internet and didn't realize they had to sign up for a free membership first. Thank you for putting that notification on your website, by the way, Jackie. Our guest today is Jackie Woods, if you've just tuned in, author of several books, the most recent one called Soulmate or Cellmate, You Make the Choice, A Guide to Healthy Relationships. And we're just talking about, she refers to four-dimensional relationships, and we'll come to that. Right now we're talking about communication styles, or would thinking styles be accurate, Jackie?
Yes.
That you can spot, and you're going to tell us how we can spot that in ourselves and in others, because I'm sure that once we realize someone else's communication style, it will help us communicate better with them and understand better how to approach them and communicate more effectively with them. And we've just broken it down to physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and we're still talking about the physical thinker or the physical communicator.
So usually in a relationship, you have two different thinking styles that get together. Occasionally, you have the same. I do know a couple where they're both physical thinkers. They watch television. They hold hands. They go to the store together. They do the yard work together. But they rarely talk about feelings, or rarely do they talk about the philosophical things of life, or
they get a lot done, right?
Huh?
They get a lot done.
They get a lot done, and they enjoy doing together.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. These are the physical. Their thinking is about the physical. What can activities? What can we do? How can we fix it? They love to have a physical problem to solve.
So they're project people. They've got always got projects in front of them.
Always have to have projects.
Okay.
And then we went on to the spiritual thinker, and that's the person that thinks in possibilities. They need to go through, they need to think through all the possibilities before they make a decision. And they may have two or three possibilities. They may have four or five around any one thing. Now, this person, when they say, oh, I love that, I just love that, you don't run out and get it for them. Or if they say, that is a problem for me, you don't go and fix it, because they're just thinking in one area of their big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait till they finish the whole picture.
Now, it's interesting that you use the term spiritual, so there are obviously other aspects to that.
Well, there are many other aspects, but I say it's the spiritual because to really be spiritual, you have to be able to see the big picture in your own life. You have to be able to see all the parts of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are people who do that?
They are able to see the big picture. Now, that doesn't mean they're totally clear on themselves, but they can get there easily because they like to see the big picture.
So they see the big picture in a corporate objective, a company that wants to achieve a certain goal, they can see that holistically. They can see the big
yes.
picture and the elements of what needs to be
done.
And
I think you work with companies. And in doing that, it's important that they acknowledge the different gifts that these people bring, not just expect them all to be the same, but to actually to appreciate the different gifts from the different thinking people.
Okay. Sure. And to, now, okay, we physical and then spiritual, the possibility.
And the mental.
Yep.
These are the people that bring you all the details, the facts. They'll get everything organized on paper. They don't necessarily get a lot done in the physical, but they can get it all organized on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they will drive you crazy wanting to know details and ask questions. When these
they'll drive you spiritual thinkers crazy, you're saying.
Right. When they come to for a session, they will. I have to answer their list of questions first.
Right.
That has to be done because that's really important to them.
Right.
And they bring a great gift too. Each one of these brings a gift.
Sure.
Huge gift. I mean, the spiritual thinker can bring the big picture and say, "Look, we have all these possibilities to do." But if you're really going to bring it into the physical, well. You need to have the details brought to it so that it's defined clearly. Then it can be handed over to the physical people, and they can say, well, these are the flaws I see in getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the emotional people. These are really your motivators. These are the people that carry a lot of passion about what they're doing, or if they're not passionate about what they're doing, they can pull you, your relationship down, your company down, your anything down, because they can get very morose.
So
and they can stay there because their world is a feeling world.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are the ones that bring the enthusiasm, that bring the sensitivity to a relationship. Now, for people that don't bring all four parts, and if you have two people in a relationship, you're only going to have one or two parts. You're not going to have all four. You have to learn how to bring all four parts to a relationship. You really can't leave any of that out.
Would it be accurate to say, Jackie, that someone would be predominantly, say, a physical or emotional or spiritual thinker, but that there would be subsets that a spiritual
very
thinker
definitely,
would... Okay.
Very definitely, and it depends how you were raised. For instance, I had an extremely emotional mother. I mean, she was very emotional. And so I can easily speak and understand the emotional language. And some people would think that I was one because I can really speak and feel and understand that language. My father was a physical. Now, physicals, I have learned a lot about physicals being married to one, but I have to admit that since my father, being a doer, really didn't speak very much, and being a child, I didn't observe him in his doing, I didn't learn a lot from him. On that thinking mode. So what were your parents?
What were my parents? I grew up with my grandparents. My grandmother was emotional, very passionate, feeling, also very, very spiritual, could see a lot of possibilities, but predominantly emotional. My grandfather was a tough one with him. I would say physical. He didn't talk a lot, so didn't hear a lot from him. Just very hardworking.
Yeah, physicals don't talk a lot.
Yeah.
And what are you?
Spiritual.
Uh-huh.
Heavy emotional. Mental drive. Mental in your model, your paradigm. Mental, as they do with you, drive me crazy. I like to be, well, they also clean up the details that I don't cover, so it's...
Yes, I need them desperately in my life.
Yeah, me too. And physical, I can't help but overlay this in some of the other models that I'm familiar with. There's one Dr. Tim Weir put together I really like called Personality Prescription, and his, where you call spiritual, he called performers.
Uh-huh.
Or the CEO types. It depends on, he takes a little different, the emotional, the passionate feeling. He also would call a performer, the mental, the details. He called a relator, that people who are very much with the details relate well to other people, and physical. Yeah, they really don't overlap. As I'm going through, they don't overlap as cleanly as I thought. Because he had a leader or a CEO type, that the DISC assessment calls the dominant, the conductor, the person who organizes.
Well, I get that more into male and female, and each of the thinking modes can have a predominant lead in the male or a predominant lead in the female part.
Oh, interesting. Talk about that a bit. That's a nice distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and knowing, understanding those things about yourself helps you in relationship to tell the person how to relate to you. They don't have to just figure you out. And unfortunately, what people like to have happen so often is they want their partner to just figure them out.
Oh, sure.
And that doesn't always work. But if we tell our partner who we are and how we think, and if we're leading with the male part of us or the female part in any at one particular time, and we have both. So,
well, can you explain that a little bit? Because you
mentioned
male and female? I didn't quite get that when you said.
Okay, the male part is that part of us that is the assertive, initiative, take the bull by the horns and go ahead.
Okay, so each of the four communication styles would have an aspect
that
would be.
Yes.
Way a male would handle it predominantly.
For instance, with the mental person, the mental person might have lots and lots of answers, but if they didn't have any initiative, they would never define that and outline it for action.
Mm-hmm.
The emotional person might, if they're on the passive side, they might sense and feel and intuit what's going on really clearly, but they would never share that. But if they share that gift with others and they interact more with others in that gift, then they're more active with it. They're more in the male energy with it.
Okay. And is that necessarily, it sounds like an odd question, but is it necessarily gender specific, or are there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
We all have the male and female. I consider, like, if something happens on the right side of your body, you might say that symbolically you're having some kinds of problems with the male part of you. And if it happens on the left side of your body, then you could say that something's happening with the female part of you. Because even the two body, the brain, you know, the different brain functions,
right.
You say the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain,
right.
They have to do with that gender, not the gender, but the male-female energy balance.
Energy, that's an interesting word that you brought up. I love your list of hard energies.
Yes.
I teach
stress that a lot.
Pardon me?
I stress that being who we are a lot. If we can get to the energy of who we are, rather than just the way we think or what we do or, you know, the belief system we hold, if we can see ourselves as energies, then relationship becomes much easier.
Would that be more... Are we more naturally, or when we're attuned, when we're more naturally come from our heart energy, all those very positive aspects that you list as heart energies, and
yes,
that the more negative would be more of a learned behavior? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very much so.
All right.
Very much so.
So heart energies, how do we attune to those heart energies? I teach a meditation called Mystic Heart Meditation, and it is, and I review it each week on the show. I'll do it after we're finished for the last 5 minutes of the show. And essentially, I'm, to use your model, I'm offering a meditation to attune to heart energy. So listen to what I call a wisdom whisper from the heart to pull up and to attune and to rediscover, if you will, some of those heart energies that we may not.
On my website, you can sign up to get heart energy sent to you regularly, where I just give a little brief statement about a particular energy, giving it character, giving it definition, so that we begin to know who we are according to energies. For instance, recently, I live in an intentional community here where we're really all about bringing healing to the planet.
Tell me what you mean by intentional community.
Intentional, we all are living within certain definitions of living, eating healthy food, trying to keep ourselves emotionally clear, growing spiritually and in our personal lives.
So you've defined that
with
the intent,
with the intent of bringing that more healed light energy to the consciousness of the planet.
Now, when you say intentionally, I understand what intentional means, but you have communicated that amongst you in the community?
Yes, we all agree that we're here, that we see as our, I mean, we all go out and do different jobs, but we see as our big mission in life to really, to bring truth to the consciousness of the planet. And it, not that everybody holds our truth, but in the form of light energy.
All right. Well, you know, this is what BBS Radio is about as well. If you've looked at it a little bit, then this is certainly why you're a guest here today.
And so the fact that I do live in an intentional community, you know, it is very, very important to me that I continually identify myself as a heart being. And so every day I meditate on what energy is my heart asking me to be today. And then it helps to clarify itself as I go about the day.
Well, that's interesting. Would there be different days that would have different... Because as I read your list of heart energies, and they're all beautiful, I'll read just a few of them. I'll take them randomly. But abundance, acceptance, forgiveness, freedom, gentleness, relaxation, responsibility, sacredness, understanding, wisdom. Now, on a given day, You say you ask?
I ask, who am I to be this day?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that what my heart is defining in the script that I'm playing out has a particular energy that I am to learn and to bring.
Script you're playing out? Tell me what you mean by that.
I mean that I believe that we have written our script before we come in, and we either through free will choose to live that script or not. And
before we come into the physical being?
The script means that we will be growing and bringing certain energies, and that is what I try to do.
Why would we ignore them?
How would we ignore them?
Yeah, why would we?
Well, it's amazing why so many people choose to, but we have free will, so sometimes we... For instance, in our community, we've been focusing a lot on the energy of purity. And some people bring order, and some people bring organization, which are different. Order is everything is put away in organization. It means it's put away in its particular place.
Mm-hmm.
And sacredness is part of purity, seeing that everything that is energy, and it is a... seeing it as a pure energy form is sacred. So we have a lot of focus recently on cleanliness. That's part of purity. The different parts, the different energies that come together to make purity. And recognizing the gifts of different people that have these strongly has been very supportive. For instance, my granddaughter, one of them has, I have two granddaughters, one of them has a great bit of organization naturally, and she's 7 years old. She can organize like you wouldn't believe. The other one doesn't have that, so we're trying to work with her to teach her that, you know, okay, this toy goes in what category? And she's asking for it, so her heart's wanting to grow that, whereas her sister's there already has it and helps her with it. So we help each other to grow these energies these heart energies, and as we grow them, they become part of us, and we get to know who we are through those energies and how we work.
You know, one of the things that occurred to me as I was reading your book, an incident that happened today, I'll talk about it, but was that often when we're not communicating well, you'll hear in the midst of a discussion, well, I would never do that, as if the other person is supposed to be a mirror of how you would handle a situation, and you make it very clear that that's just a very bad way to think. And earlier today, I made a sandwich, and got a plate and finished my sandwich, and I put the plate back on the counter in the kitchen, and I came back about 5 minutes later because my wife and I tend to clean up our dishes soon after we eat and keep everything kind of neat, and I came back and she had already washed it and put it away, and I said, you washed my plate. She said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, then you helped your heart energy move more into completeness today. And I had just read that from your book, you know, that someone will finish a task, and instead of being angry at the other person for not doing it, to have that perspective or that view of it, that they complete it and say, wow, this is an opportunity for me to grow in my heart energy of completeness. Did I interpret that properly? Or?
Yes, exactly. And that takes away that feeling of inadequacy when we realize that we all just bring these energies differently, and they support each other.
Yes.
You know, like the way I have love and the way you have love may look very different, but if we are in relationship together and I am bringing my piece of love and you're bringing yours, and we recognize it as that rather than, oh, you've got to love just the way I do, then we support each other in being who we are, and we learn from each other.
Now, how do we recognize, and it may not be a simple answer to that, Jackie, I apologize. By the way, I just want to mention once more, because people tune in at different times, our guest today on Sundays with Papa Jeff is Jackie Woods, author of a delightful book with some tremendous perspectives on relationship. If you're looking for something, just a new way of looking at a variety of things, this may be something that you really find insightful and enjoyable. It's called Soulmate or Cellmate, You Make the Choice, A Guide to Healthy Relationships by Jackie Woods. And Jackie's referred to her website several times. It's www.jackiewoods, J-A-C-K-I-E, Woods, W-O-O-D-S, .org. And we're just coming back, and I had asked Jackie, how do we recognize heart energies or weaknesses, if you will, or even strengths, or just different ways of loving or different ways of communicating in our relationships, because we so often have an expectation that someone would handle something the way we would or would express their love the way we would express it. And I'm just asking, how do we open those communication channels up? How do we recognize other heart energies in other people? You have an intuitive gift, but I'm asking for the average bear.
Okay. If we start thinking in terms of they are saying this, what is the heart energy that's trying to speak behind it? They're doing this, what is the heart energy behind this?
I want to mention right here that your list of heart energies, which looks to me is about easily 30, 60, not say close to 100 words, they're all positive. There's not one word in there that's negative.
No,
so,
there are no negative heart energies.
All right, perfect. So someone is coming, regardless of how they're handling something, somewhere there's a positive in that. And if we can get past what we might take as a negative connotation, that they're not doing it the way I would, that can begin to attune us to what particular heart energy they're using?
Yes. As I said earlier, my husband thinks physically and I think spiritually. And he was so apologetic when we first started seeing each other, because everyone had said, you know, you are difficult to communicate with. You are so difficult to communicate with. So every time I didn't understand and asked for clarification, he would apologize. And I said, no, we just have to learn how you bring communication and I bring communication. We have to learn our communication styles, what your energy of communication looks like and what mine. It's the same around efficiency. His form of efficiency and mine are very different. His forms of order and organization are very different than mine. Let me give an example that happened recently, that when we finally got to the energy, how beautiful it was. His form of organization is to create stacks. My form of organization is that everything is put away and has a place. And so, you know, I have to say that this went on for a long time. Just we'd go from being frustrated about each other's situation until we would say something, and then we would say, okay, what can we do about it?
So he'd say, where's that that I just put in my stack over here? And you say, I put it away in a
place. And
I
put it away. And and if I left it out, then I would get frustrated because everything looked so messy. So finally, rather than just trying to fix the problem, we finally got to say, okay, what is this? And he said, well, this is the way I organize. And I said, well, and this is not organization for me. They look very different. And so we just said, okay, this is our energy. Let's see if we can just focus on the energy of organization and see what comes to us as far as solution rather than trying to just figure it out, which a lot of people call compromise or problem solving in a relationship, and they never get to the energy to let the energy help them with that. So we did. And the next day, a friend was cleaning out a closet and said, Jackie, I have all these organizers. They were vertical files that you could put pieces of paper in. And I said, oh, well, let me see. So I brought them to my husband, and I said, does this work for you? Can you put your stacks vertically in a file? And he said, yeah, as long as they're stacks. And so, you know, it was like the hearts came together and provided the solution rather than our minds just trying to figure it out.
Okay, and nowhere along the line, I mean, other than some mild frustration, there weren't negative connotations of...
No, we realized that we just had different... But even recognizing different heart energies, sometimes you have to say, okay, I wipe out my picture that you need to do it my way, and let's just see what happens when we get to joining our heart energies.
Now, when you say joining our heart energies, what... Now, I'm just trying to figure out how do you do that?
Well, as I say, we express it differently, mm-hmm. but if we can say, all right, I'm not attached to the way I express, say, communication or organization or whatever, and I'm not going to be attached to it being my way or your way,
okay.
but obviously these two different ways need to come together in some form, let's just both meditate on this energy of organization and see what happens. So it's like we join at the heart, and then the mind begins to have new possibilities.
Okay, well, that reminds me of a model you use in your book, that there's your space, your partner or your person you have a relationship with space, and then there's a relationship space.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. We tend to think in the old paradigm of relationship that, you know, I give up this and you give up that, and you agree to this and I agree to that, and somehow we have formed a relationship that works, when really that just diminishes two people. That doesn't really create anything new. Whereas if I can say, I'm going to bring to this relationship my facet of play, and you're going to bring your facet of play, and we're going to come together on how we can have this play together. We're going to define what energies are going to make up our relationship, and then we both contribute to that. So if, for instance, you have the energy of adventure that says you've got to go drive on ice, which is my husband's adventure, and mine is not even close to that, we just don't bring a lot of adventure into our relationship. We say that's not one of our main energies that define our relationship. But we have a lot of play. We have a lot of love. We have a lot of caring. We have a lot of support. We have a lot of energies that we can bring that fit together really well. But those that don't fit, some of them we just say they're not part of our relationship. We don't have to make all of us fit into this relationship.
Okay, so you maintain, you don't give up that. You maintain it individually.
Yes. If we give up parts of ourselves, then we shrink.
Right. Good. I like it. Beautiful way of putting it. Now, I know most of my, I have a lot of friends who are psychologists and counselors of different stripes, and when I ask them, tell me what makes up the bulk of your practice, who are the clients you see, what are the issues they bring, relationships are, you know, the big umbrella, but money is a big issue in a lot of the relationship counseling they do, and I know you address that in your book. Would you mind just giving some insights on that?
No, I don't mind at all. Money is a problem for a lot of people. Most generally, both partners are money earners. Not always, but in this day and age, because of the economy, most people have to work.
Right.
And when both of them are working, they may not have the same hours, or they may not have the same amount of money that they bring home. So you have to agree again on which part of the money goes for the relationship and which part of the money then stays in your own space to support the parts of you that you're not bringing to the relationship.
Okay. You use three circles in your model, that the relationship is like an entity of its own.
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I just wanted to...
And we have to treat it that way, whether we're talking about money, whether we're talking about time, whether we're talking about meeting the relatives.
Okay, so there's you, me, and our relationship.
Yes.
All three of us.
Right, and when we have friends over, if we're doing it as a couple, then it is our relationship that is entertaining them, rather than one person entertaining and the others just kind of there.
Oh, that's kind of neat. It's the relationship that's entertaining guests.
Yes, and you can even go so far as to say, you know, these people enjoy this, and this. So we're going to bring these energies in this way together. And you can even talk ahead of time about, this is how I bring that facet and how you bring that facet.
So you would play consciously...
Play is a common one.
You would consciously select a heart energy?
Yes.
You would go to your list?
Yes. You can be intentional about your life being a heart life. You can be very intentional about that, and it gives focus. I think I may have given this example in the book. I don't know. I forget which I give in class and which I give in the book. But I'm very intentional about defining my heart energy for the day. And I was in the car with my husband, and we were going to the next town to have a day, an afternoon off together. And usually I'm very intentional, and we talk about the energy we're going in, but I hadn't done any of that. I just got in the car. And now, I told you before, I eat a very healthy diet. But on this day, he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go get coffee and donuts. He looked at me, nearly wrecked the car. And he said, you haven't defined an energy for the day, have you? And I said, no, as a matter of fact, maybe I should do that.
Well, Jackie, before we go too far afield, because I'm skipping around in your book as well, we started to talk about money. And one of the
things sorry.
That's okay. No. I took us on a different track, and I want to come back to some listeners who said, yes, the question I want to hear some answers to, and then he interrupted her. One of the neat things that I noticed in the relationship, each time when you, whatever issue you bring up in the relationship, you relate it to the four aspects or the four dimensions of that relationship, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual.
Yes.
And so I just want to come back to the money issue and
okay.
allow you, and I'll stay quiet for a while and allow
okay.
you to cover that a little more.
Thank you. I appreciate it. As okay. I say, I'm a mental spiritual. I jump around from the different possibilities. Okay. When you're talking about money, you do need to recognize that the relationship has physical needs, it has emotional needs, it has mental needs, and it has spiritual needs. We not only think in those terms, but as I said before, you, even though your thinking preference may be one or and your partner's another one of those, you bring two different thinking modes, you still have to address all four parts of you, because all of us have physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. So all of those need to be addressed in the relationship, and money needs to be allotted to those. Now, you have to set up a budget of, you know, what are your basic physical needs, but sometimes people get into a house, for instance, that's way out of proportion with the amount of money they make. And so all of their money goes to their basic physical needs. They don't have anything left for their emotional or their spiritual or their mental. And so those things have to be defined. They have to be budgeted. They have to be planned as part of the money that you are allotting to your relationship. Now, you may contribute more than your partner contributes, for instance, to the relationship. And if that's fine with you, that's great. You may not feel in balance with that. And you may have to say, I'm going to contribute X amount, and you have to contribute X amount. That works too. Whatever feels like balance for you. But it has to feel like balance, or one person begins to feel like they're being taken advantage of. So ask me some more questions about money.
Okay. I was really good. I didn't interrupt for a full 2 or 3 minutes.
No, but you're a spiritual too.
Okay, you talked about physical, and I think that's easy to understand. We have a house payment and car payments, and so we allocate money to that. How would we allocate, and what would be some specifics to mental, emotional, and spiritual? How would we budget that, and what would
in our relationship, the spiritual is a huge facet, and that is our spiritual growth. That is the spiritual that we have. But our mission that we do here and maintaining this place is part of the spiritual for us. So a good, probably much more than a fourth of our budget, relationship budget, goes to spiritual, but that wouldn't necessarily be the case for everybody.
And now what would you purchase with that?
Well, for instance, because it's an intentional community, we have just purchased a generator so that when the power goes out, which it goes out every winter here, every winter of the world, it goes out, and then there's a place for everybody to be. And that, to me, is about supporting the spiritual community, and the community supports us in our spiritual. So it's, even though it would appear to be a physical expense, it's really a spiritual expense.
Okay. Emotional.
Emotional. The emotional is the thing that helps to build your passion. For us, we spend money. We don't have a TV, but we spend money on buying. Right now, we've just gone crazy on buying piano duet books with Mozart. He is so passionate. We have all kinds of Mozart piano books. And that is an emotional expense for us, whereas somebody else, they might not even like music, and if they did, Mozart might not be their thing, and it certainly isn't an emotional. For some people, music is more of a physical experience than it is an emotional. But for us, it's very emotional.
Sure. Okay. Mental?
And a mental. My son is a very much a mental thinker, and so every birthday I get him books, but part of his budget has to go for books, because that's just in gathering information. And I mean, he wouldn't think of not having internet access, because that would give him a lot of mental information, whereas internet access for me is not about information, it's about really about connection. It's really a spiritual thing for me again.
Sure. All right. I have one more question. Coming at it differently. Now, I may have a relationship with someone, or have begun a relationship with someone, either business or personal, or even romantic, and we communicate differently, and we spot that, and we call upon higher energies, and we agree to work on weaknesses and strengths and those hard energies, and help the other one to grow and so forth. There has to come a point that another issue enters, or an issue enters, and I'd like to see how you integrate that. Isn't there a point where there's the issue of compatibility?
There definitely is. There definitely is that, and sometimes those things, like I said, my husband's adventure is driving on ice when it's freezing, and that's not my adventure, and his has to have an adrenaline rush and mine doesn't, so we just don't bring that energy that much into our relationship. But there have been things that we're not really compatible on that we do have to bring into the relationship. And those things have to be addressed. And the way we get to that is to, like I said, our organization was not compatible at all. And what we have to do on that is to acknowledge finally our frustration. We had to talk about our frustration. We had to get that out of the way before we could let go of our picture of how it needed to be, to actually call upon that energy of organization to come and give us some direction. And the energy does. The energy has a consciousness.
Well, yeah, you know, that's another show entirely right there. Because I've heard energy, you know, so well, energy, you know, has no beginning, can be end, can't be destroyed, is everywhere, is everything. And God, it has the same definition, yet what is left out of that equation so often for me, being a spiritual, is that, okay, energy equals God, I'm fine with that, except don't think that energy doesn't have character.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, okay, good. I want to come back to the compatibility thing. I just needed to editorialize on that one. It seems to me, Jackie, that there has to be enough interest in the relationship to work at it, and that there are times when you're going to come down, this is just an incompatible relationship. This isn't just, we just shouldn't get married. This was for a season, or this is a time. I mean, that has to come into the picture, right? If it, no matter how much you're willing to work,
right.
Someone who is totally physical, meet someone who's totally emotional, and while they have a good, say, physical attraction and an emotional attraction, as they learn more and more about each other, there just comes a point where, and maybe it's the wrong choice of words, that it just isn't workable as a daily, enjoyable relationship.
And it does come to that point, and I have a whole chapter in the book about, you know, when do I know it's over, and when do I just get out?
Yeah, I saw that, beginnings and endings.
Yes, and you do have to realize that if you don't have enough compatible heart energies that you can work out and that you're not even willing to work on the ones that aren't, but you've got to have a certain number that are compatible, that where your facet of sharing and mine of sharing come together at some point, or your generosity and mine come together at some point. Your energy of listening and mind come together. You know, there's got to be some things that come together to create the core or the heart of that third entity relationship. And it has to have a heart, too. And that's what makes up the heart. And some relationships just don't have enough energies coming together to make a heart.
Jackie, there's so much material, and I know you said you're not good at this, but you're wonderful at it, and I think I could easily go on another hour with you. There's so much substance in your book. Today's guest has been Jackie Woods, author of Soulmate or Cellmate. You Make the Choice, A Guide to Healthy Relationships. The book's available everywhere. Jackie's website is Jackie Woods, J-A-C-K-I-E, woods.org. There's great stuff there, and I really enjoyed talking to you, Jackie. You know, I'm more and more, and I just completed my 65th free trip around the sun. And I think I am so happy to be alive right now, to be part of BBS Radio and meeting so many people via this, certainly including you today. I just really believe that we are getting kinder and more understanding as people in spite of all the horrible things that are going on. I think that it is provoking a groundswell of people just becoming nicer and nicer. And it's wonderful to talk to someone who's contributing so beautifully to that, and I wish you great success and good fortune at your center.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Jeff.
And thank you for what you do. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're coming down to just wrapping up, and as promised, I'd like to run through the Mystic Heart Meditation, and you know, Jackie focuses her work on heart energies, and I, as do I. I teach a little meditation. I'm going to take you through it quickly. It's called the Mystic Heart Meditation, and it begins with a very simple quiet awareness in which I just ask you, or if you choose to go on this mission with me, to just take a moment now to just be quietly aware of where you are. Just quietly aware that you're listening to Internet Radio, to BBS Radio, that it is all about transformation and the evolution of consciousness and what's happening today, and so many of us involved share this sense of a groundswell, a tremendous movement that's happening now in human consciousness. And so being quietly aware is a way to begin to access a connection to that, if you will, and access a connection to our heart. And so just be quietly aware for just a second. Now, just notice the room you're in. Be aware of listening to my voice. And nothing more than that, just quiet awareness. And think of a big letter Q. And just look around your room now while you're just quietly aware. Or your boat, or wherever you happen to be. They have to be. Now, you'll notice that after a few seconds of quiet awareness, the mind begins to say, well, what's he going to say next? Is he quiet? Is that it? And what about this? And what if that? And if only that? And the mind begins to go again, and the internal chatter starts. A way to maintain quiet awareness is to overlay it with what I call breath awareness. And it's simply being aware of your breathing, being aware of when you're inhaling and when you're exhaling, so that you notice that you put your attention on quiet awareness, choosing quiet awareness, and then choosing to just notice when you're inhaling and notice when you're exhaling. And keep moving your awareness back to following your breathing, noticing the rise of your stomach and your chest and the fall of it as you exhale. And just staying in the quiet awareness. This is the beginning of Mystic Heart Meditation. So we've got quiet awareness, Q for the quiet awareness, and then breath awareness, BA. And the third element of it is heart awareness. And that's spending so much time in quiet awareness and breath awareness that you begin to listen for an inner voice, not in words, but an inner wisdom. And there is something in my experience in this life called a wisdom whisper. I choose to call it a wisdom whisper, in which the heart speaks, not in words, but in a sudden rush of wisdom, of new insights, a new understanding, a new sense of well-being that is just startling. And for some people, it's a conversion experience, an enlightenment experience. And it's as simple as that. It's quiet awareness, breath awareness, heart awareness. And I even like a little mantra called Kubaha. So just be quietly aware, breath aware, heart aware. Thanks for tuning in to Sundays with Papa Jeff, and I'll see you next time.